Welcome, and thank you for standing by. All participants will be on a listen-only mode until the question and answer session of today's conference. At that time, you may press star then one to ask a question from the phone lines. Also, this conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the call over to your host, Ms. Kathy Harbin. Thank you, ma'am. You may begin.
Thank you, Katie, and thank you all for joining us today for the release of a new CDC vital signs, this one on trends and disparities in infant safe sleep practices. We're joined today by CDC Director Dr. Brenda Fitzgerald, as well as Dr. Wanda Barfield. She's Director of CDC's Division of Reproductive Health, and she's also Assistant Surgeon General in the U.S. Public Health Service. Also joining us is Dr. Carrie Shapiro-Mendoza. She's a senior scientist in the Division of Reproductive Health and one of the authors of the Vital Signs article. Doctors Barfield and Shapiro-Mendoza will address your questions after opening remarks. I'll now turn the call over to Dr. Fitzgerald.
Good afternoon, and thank you all for joining us today. CDC provides the common defense of the country against health threats. Today, we're going to talk about a health threat against our youngest citizens. Today's Vital Sign report is about the importance of safe sleep environments for babies to help reduce the risk for sleep-related death. This information is critical because each year we lose about 3,500 babies in the United States to sleep-related deaths, such as accidental suffocation and sudden infant death syndrome, or SIDS. There are known ways to reduce the risk of these deaths. One way is to follow the safe sleep practices recommended by the American Academy of Pediatrics and promoted in the Safe to Sleep campaign. One, always place babies on their back to sleep, every nap, every night, every time. Two, babies should sleep in their own sleep space. Have the baby share your room, not your bed. The baby should not sleep in an adult bed, on a couch, or on a chair, with you or with anyone else. Three, put babies to sleep in a safety-approved crib or bassinet with a firm sleep surface or mattress. And last, keep all soft objects such as pillows, loose blankets, bumper pads, and toys out of the baby's sleep area. Unfortunately, this new report reveals that unsafe sleep practices with babies are common. About 1 in 5 mothers reported placing their baby to sleep on their side or stomach. More than a half reported bed sharing with their baby. And 2 in 5 mothers reported using soft bedding in the baby's sleep area. Among those who didn't follow safe sleep recommendations, we saw differences in population groups based on race and ethnicity, age, and education. It is clear that we all have more work to do, and everyone has a role to play in doing better when it comes to protecting our precious babies. There were significant reductions in sleep-related deaths in the 1990s. However, since the late 1990s, our progress has slowed. We need to reinvigorate this important work by getting safe-to-sleep messages to all audiences. We know many states are working with partners to get the word out on safe sleep practices for babies. For example, some states have safe sleep policies in every hospital statewide to train healthcare providers and teach caregivers about safe sleep. Others give information materials to every parent before they leave the hospital with their new baby. Many have conducted communication campaigns. All of these strategies can make a real difference in promoting safe sleep for babies. We must make sure that every caregiver, every healthcare provider, and state and local health departments across the country know that there are known safe sleep recommendations that can and do make a difference. We should continue to raise awareness, particularly within those groups where data shows babies are at higher risk of sleep-related deaths. We can't be complacent when there are ways that we can reduce the risk of these deaths. I now turn it over to Dr. Wanda Barfield, who will share the specific findings from today's report. Dr. Barfield.
Thank you, Dr. Fitzgerald. For this report, we analyzed data from the Pregnancy Risk Assessment Monitoring System, or PRAMS. PRAMS is a state-based surveillance system that asks mothers about their behaviors and experiences before, during, and after pregnancy. Since the 1980s, PRAMS has collected this data each year from women with a recent live birth in the U.S. Specifically, we examined 2015 data on how often mothers reported placing their baby to sleep on their side or instead of on their back, if they shared their beds with their babies, and whether they put soft bedding in their baby's cribs. As Dr. Fitzgerald noted, we found that unsafe sleep practices with babies are common. About 1 in 5 mothers reported placing their baby to sleep on their side or stomach. Just under 2 in 5 reported using any soft bedding when placing babies to sleep, most commonly bumper pads and thick blankets, which are not recommended in the baby sleep area. More than half reported any bed sharing with their baby. We found that mothers who did not follow safe sleep recommendations varied by state, race, ethnicity, age, and education. For example, in 2015, among states with available data, the percentage of mothers who reported placing their baby on his or her side or stomach to sleep ranged from about 12% in Wisconsin to 34% in Louisiana. Placing babies on their side or stomach to sleep was more common among mothers who are non-Hispanic Black, mothers who are under 25, and mothers with 12 or less years of education. These findings highlight the need to continue improving safe sleep practices. So how can we work together to reduce safe sleep and reduce sleep-related infant deaths? Proven actions to improve safe sleep practices include developing culturally appropriate health messages and educational tools for caregivers and training health and child care professionals. Some state and local health departments are training providers to improve safe sleep practices in child care and hospital settings. Others are working to deliver culturally appropriate messages about safe sleep through programs that serve mothers and babies. Healthcare providers can advise parents and other caregivers on safe sleep practices and help them to find solutions if they have trouble following the recommendations. Healthcare providers can also model safe sleep practices for parents and other caregivers during office visits and in the hospital after delivery. Caregivers, including mothers, fathers, grandparents, babysitters, and child care workers, have an important role to play in safe sleep for babies. They can place babies on their back for every sleep, room share, but not bed share with babies, remove soft bedding such as blankets, pillows, and other soft objects from their baby's sleep area, and talk to their health care provider about safe sleep practices for their baby. Although this report is focused on creating a safe sleep environment, it's important to note that AAP has some additional recommendations for reducing the risk of sleep-related infant deaths. These include protective factors such as breastfeeding and avoiding exposure to smoke, alcohol, and illicit drugs. At CDC, we have a number of efforts underway to address safe sleep. We will continue to monitor infant sleep practices through PRAMS. And in fact, 2016 data will be released soon, and we'll have more states with data available. We support 16 states and 2 jurisdictions in the monitoring of sleep-related deaths through CDC's case registry. This tracking effort captures 30% of all sleep-related infant death cases in the U.S. and focuses on strategies to reduce these deaths. We're working with state perinatal quality collaboratives to improve the quality of care for mothers and babies. some participating states are working with healthcare providers to model safe sleep practices in the hospitals for parents and caregivers. Every single loss of a baby is an unimaginable tragedy that impacts families and communities beyond measure. We know what we can do to reduce the risk of sleep-related deaths in infants. We all share responsibility to help mothers, fathers, and other caregivers keep babies safe and healthy. Thank you, and I'll now turn it back over to the moderator.
Thank you, Dr. Barfield. Katie, we are ready for questions now, please.
Thank you. At this time, we would like to begin the question and answer session of today's conference. If you would like to ask a question from the phone lines, please press star then one, unmute your phone, and record your name when prompted. If you need to withdraw your question, please press star then two. Once again, to ask a question from the phone lines, please press star then one, and record your name when prompted. One moment, please, while questions queue up. Our first question comes from Mike Stobie with the Associated Press. Your line is now open.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. Two questions, actually. Could you help me understand? It's been kind of flat since the 1990s or around 2000, the number of sudden unexpected infant deaths. And also, according to your new report, the practices for at least the late 2000s that you're talking about. Could you talk about why that's been flat?
Yes. So a previous study showed that following the Back to Sleep campaign, there was a rapid increase in the percentage of babies placed on their backs to sleep. And the increase in back sleeping slowed beginning around 2000. The Back to Sleep campaign is now known as the Safe to Sleep campaign, and this vital signs report confirms the persistence of unsafe sleep practice and really underscores the need for novel approaches of promoting safe sleep recommendations and improving safe sleep practices. What was interesting about this report really is that unsafe sleep practices are still common.
Okay, so I'm sorry, are you saying that the Back to Sleep program, it kind of waned, they stopped doing it, or they reduced it, or the initial impact of it faded? And I'm sorry, just a little bit.
It appears that the initial impact we saw then faded, and so far we've sort of been stalled in our progress. And it may be that we need to reinvigorate these messages.
Okay, thank you. And my second question, if I may, the sudden unexpected infant death rate and the number, there's different components to that, I guess. There's SIDS in there. There's accidental suffocation and strangulation in bed. The things you're highlighting, the behaviors, the practices that you're hoping families do to put their kids on their back, what proportion of sudden unexpected infant deaths do you think can be affected by these practices that they're talking about?
So Dr. Shapiro Mendoza is going to address that question.
Excuse me. So in about 2015, there were about 1,600 deaths that, according to the death certificates, were due to SIDS, 1,200 due to unknown cause, and 900 deaths that were due to or classified in the death certificate as accidental suffocation and strangulation in bed. These safe sleep practices that we're talking about addresses both SIDS deaths and other deaths that occur in the sleep environment, like accidental suffocation.
Our next question comes from Eben Brown with Fox News. Your line is now open.
Thank you very much for holding this call today. There is a growing trend, and or at least I should say this anecdotally, there's a try, just from me poking around, of parents, new parents, preferring to co-sleep with their young children. For those that are determined to do this, what age is it okay to actually start doing that? Certainly I haven't encountered anyone that's co-sleeping with an infant. But as the child gets into the toddler years, they try to do that. Is there an official CDC perhaps position on this, or B, what could some recommendations be?
So the recommendations for AAP is that infants who are, you know, under a year of age should not co-sleep. They should be able to sleep within the same room as a caregiver, but they should not be in the same bed.
But beyond a year of age, is there any guidance on that?
There isn't really any specific guidance about that.
Okay, thank you.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question from the phone lines, please press star, then one, and record your name when prompted. Our next question comes from Molly Walker with MedPage Today. Your line is now open.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. My question is having to do with what message providers can sort of and CDC want to send to manufacturers who sort of, you know, market these unsafe sleep products like bumper pads and show these advertisements with blankets and all this sort of unsafe sleep. Do you hope that this report will be sort of a wake-up call for them, or is there any sort of advocacy action planned? Or that you think providers can sort of get involved in? Thank you very much.
Thank you for your question, Ms. Walker. You're absolutely right in that there's an opportunity for many of us to really counter messages that run counter to safe sleep. So ads that show, you know, babies surrounded by stuffed animals or blankets. Many are trying to counter that message, particularly the American Academy of Pediatrics, and I think it's important that all of us have a role to play in terms of identifying those contradictory messages to new parents and families so that they understand that a safe sleep environment does not include soft bedding, pillows, stuffed animals, and other things within the crib.
All right. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Sean Hamill with Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Your line is now open.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. Can you tell me, you mentioned the slackening of the reduction in unexpected deaths in infants since the 2000s, but how do the numbers that you're reporting on unsafe sleep patterns, how do they compare over time nationally? Have we seen that number also stop falling as much or at all? And I'm talking nationally, not state by state, because it looks like there's quite a wide variation state by state. But nationally, are these numbers continuing to fall, or have they maybe started to creep up over time?
So this is Dr. Carrie Shapiro-Mendoza. So you're talking about the sleep-related infant deaths and whether you see the same pattern that we saw with back sleeping, with an increase in back sleeping in the early 90s after the Back to Sleep campaign, and then sloughing off. And does the same pattern hold true for the sleep-related infant deaths, the accidental suffocation and SIDS? And we do see it follow a very similar pattern when we look at all those different causes of death together, that initially in the 90s we saw a big decline up until about 1999 to 2000. And then from 2000 up until the most recent year of data, I believe 2015, the rates have really been fairly stable.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question from the phone lines, please press star, then one, and record your name when prompted. We are currently showing no questions in queue.
Okay, unless there are other questions, I would like to thank Drs. Fitzgerald, Barfield, and Shapiro-Mendoza for joining us today. Thank you also to the reporters who've joined. If you have follow-up questions, please call our press office at 404-639-3286, or you can email media@cdc.gov. Thank you for joining us. This concludes our call.
That concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may disconnect at this time.